Amen. Thank you, praise team. If you'll take out a Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we continue to look at a study over the next week or two on generosity. What does it mean? We're entering into this season of giving. It's Christmas, it's Thanksgiving. Everybody feels generous. We talked last week about how we just rally around meeting people's needs in this time of the year. It's just fantastic. We said even Scrooge and the Grinch find themselves giving things away on Christmas and in that season. However, come January, February, we kind of go back into the same old, same old. And what we're saying is that as believers, we should be very generous people. In fact, a believer is defined, a Christian is defined by their generosity, by their generosity. Last week we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that Paul said, I'm testing the sincerity of your love by looking at how generous you are. Now, when we talk about generosity, we're not just talking about money. That's part of it. We're talking about being generous with your time, being generous with your gifts, being generous in your attitude. What does that look like? What does that mean? So if you'll take a Bible out and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read there in just a second. We're going to read just a few verses for today. This might be a good time in reaching your bulletin and pull out the purple sheet, and you can kind of follow along where we are. I've included a few verses there for you to take home, as well as some points to remind you again what we talked about last week. We talked about the attitude of generosity, that makes a huge difference, the attitude behind the gift. We like to say that it's not the gift so much as the spirit of the gift, you know? It's the thought that counts, right? We have phrases like that because that's what's important to us, what's in the heart. So we found that it's possible to give without loving, to give without giving of ourselves, but you can't give yourself without being generous, and you can't love without giving. Okay, and that is where we're talking about the attitude. I included there Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That is a great proverb. It's so wise because it is those, as I talked to the young people a moment ago about being a sieve, a colander, as opposed to a Tupperware, that God blesses us to bless others. We are refreshed if we refresh others. So number one then is we have to be outwardly focused. We have to be selfless. We have to say, go against the world that says, whenever the world gives a gift, they say, what am I going to get in return? You know, what's the payback? Well, yeah, I'll give of my time, but what do I get out of it? That's the world's thinking. True generosity gives without expecting anything in return and doesn't measure it that way. It is that motivation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 says, if I gave everything I have to the poor, if I gave up my life, but have not love, it's worthless. It means nothing. So even the Bible tells us that it's the motivation behind the gift. Also, I want us to be aware that God wants us to enjoy our blessings. He wants us to enjoy our blessings. I think that's an important concept that sometimes even us who are trying to live for the Lord and are so blessed by the Lord, we kind of fall into a trap of feeling guilty about being blessed. You ever felt guilty about being blessed? You have a lot. Some people don't have any. You look and you watch the news and you see what's happening in the Philippines, or you see around the world people starving, and you've got plenty. And you almost feel bad about it. Like, I'm so sorry about that. I know that that's one of the common characteristics when we go on a missions trip together and we'll go to a third world country and the people on the trip will see the poverty that's there and it'll move them so greatly they'll come home and they'll say, I can't stand it that I have this home, a car, I have more than I possibly need. I have clothes that I can change into every day and we have all these and we begin to feel guilty. I want you to know that God blesses you for a reason. He doesn't bless you so you can feel guilty about being blessed. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. He has blessed you for a purpose. He wants you to enjoy the abundance that He's given you and to share it with others. It's God's design. And so that's something that He wants to make sure we do, and that is enjoy our blessings. He's given us that not to feel guilty, but to be a blessing to others. Also, the third thing is to desire to bless others with all things. Again, it's our worldly passion to hold on to things. You know, we've said so many times in here before that one of the largest growing, still the largest growing companies in the nation today is storage units. You know, we have to buy houses for our stuff. We have a house and our stuff has a house. And we just have so much stuff that we need more places to put our stuff. All right, we tend to hold on. You know, one of those reality shows, The Hoarders, you know, people tune into that because they just think, wow. And most of us are going, that's kind of me, you know. I just want you to know that God's will is for us to desire to bless others, to desire to see how I can get that stuff out there to be a blessing to others. And you know, God doesn't ask us to do anything that's not God-like. God is the one who sets the example for us. And I included a couple other verses there in your notes for you. They're just classic verses. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, follow God's example. You want to know an example to follow? Follow His example as dearly beloved children and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God loves us, so He gave. Another familiar verse, really familiar, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He did what? Gave. He gave. Love gives. You cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And we want to follow God's example and love folks around us. How does God give? God gives us abundantly. He gives more than enough. God, I want you to know today that that's one thing. God is pretty, the Bible says God's not a God of confusion, and he's got an order to things. I mean, look at creation. But when it comes to blessing, God is a sloppy blesser. He is. He blesses you, and it's over the top, and it just flows out. And when God's filling your glass of milk, it pours all over the table because He doesn't stop. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa. And God says, oh, no, no. And He's pouring all over. It's on the table. It's on your shoes. It's everywhere. Oh, that's how it should be with us as Christians. Anybody that comes near you ought to get a little bit of blessing on them. It should be just flowing all over you, just like you got pushed into the pool. And everybody, you come near and don't touch me. I'll get wet if you get wet. That's right. I got blessing all over me. I'm soaked with blessing. What is that dripping off you? Blessing? Oh, stop shaking. And you're like the dog, you know. And blessing flies out everywhere. That's what our lives should be like. That's what Christians should be. Oh, here comes that guy. He's just soaking wet with blessings. If they're going to run from us, they should run from us because they're going to get wet with blessing. You understand? That's how God blesses us. You know, too many people have a warped idea, a misunderstanding of God, that He's somebody who holds blessings in the tight fist of His hand. And if you can just pry His tight fingers away, you might get a blessing. That's not the God that the Bible describes. The God the Bible describes is a God who pours blessing out abundantly. Not only abundantly, but sacrificially. He gives Himself. He holds nothing back. He gives it all away. And that's important. So here's a thought. The thought is, we are never more like God than when we give like God. Abundantly and sacrificially, motivated by love. Sloppy giving. We just give and give, and it just, we're free to do that. But how do we move from where we are in today's world? How do we go from the way we view the things we have or the time we have or our talents and ability? How do we move to thinking like that? Well, the first thing is that we have to have that adjustment and attitude. We have to adjust our attitude to know that God has made us stewards, that it's stewardship versus ownership. Here's easy. This is really easy, okay? Here you go. Ready? God owns everything. Can you say that with me? God owns everything. Now, when I say everything, I mean everything. What's in your pocket? God owns that. God owns what's in your pocket. He owns what's parked out there. He owns where you're going to go park that what's parked out there. He owns it all. He owns the air you breathe. He owns you. God owns everything. Everything in this world is simply given to us as a test of what we can do for God. It's given to us so that we might be stewards of it. Every penny in your pocket, every car in your driveway, the house that you have, the clothes that you wear, he gives it to you and he says, I want you to take care of this for me. I'm not giving it to you to own. I'm giving it to you just to take care of. Can you take care of it for me? There's accountability, but God owns everything. He gives everything to you. He entrusts it to you as a steward. So our options are simple, but first let's read our scripture. You thought I wasn't going to get to it, didn't you? All right, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, if you don't have a Bible, hopefully you grabbed one up out of the pew rack in front of you, and page about 807. And I'm going to read verse 6 through 9, just those few verses. But follow along with me as I read it. Remember this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Can we pray? Father in heaven, as we approach this time, Lord, can you just show us, inspire us, instruct us, how can we become more like you when it comes to generosity? Lord, some things we can measure, like amount of money or amount of time, but then there's things like ourselves and our attitudes that are tougher. I pray this day that you would have your way with us, that you'd speak to our hearts from just these few words and show us some key principles. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me tell you something. You basically have three options. They're listed right here in this scripture, in these few verses, and then we're going to look at some principles. But right there, you got three options of what kind of giver are you. So let's just measure it up. If you give it all, I guess that's not listed there in your options. Maybe you're not a giver. But let's assume that we're all givers. We're just generous people. But how do we give? What does it look like? First, he says, don't give reluctantly. There are those who give under protest. As I said last week, it's the siblings. You give one of those to your sister. You share that with your brother. Okay. All right. That's reluctant giving. If I have to, I will. Some people come, they give to church that way. They give of their time that way. They serve in the church that way. Okay, I'll go and I'll teach Sunday school. Now, hopefully that's not your Sunday school teacher. I don't think it is. But, you know, we serve a different way. Now, look at the second thing. It says, don't give reluctantly or under compulsion because you feel like it's some kind of duty. It's some kind of responsibility and you're guilted into it by somebody else. You know, we're all members, and as a member of Parkwood Baptist Church, you need to be serving. Okay, that is a true statement. Okay? But if that's why you do it, the preacher said I'm doing it, he's taking role, he's checking the box, then that's not good either. Better than nothing. And so is reluctance. Better than nothing. But how does Paul say to give? It says God loves a cheerful giver. Can I just, I'm going to go Greek on you right here. We don't do this a lot, but I've got to show you, when it's really relevant, I've got to tell you. The Greek word here is hilaros. It's where we get the word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. People who give just for the fun of it. People who just love it. They love it so much, it's hilarious. When is something hilarious? It is when not only you're happy to do it, but it's too extreme. It's just hilarious. You know, what's so funny? Oh, just open that. Just open it. What's so funny? No, you just got to open it. Just open it. You know what I'm saying? You know, when we're hilariously given, we just love it. And everybody around us loves it. It transforms the whole situation, the whole environment, your circumstances, because you're just hilarious. That's the Greek word there. God loves, Paul says, a hilarious giver. So those are your options. Joy. Joy. So what are the principles of giving? Can I show you a couple principles right here? And these are principles right out of this scripture. And so if you have your Bible open, keep it open. I want to make sure you know I'm not making this up. So here's some principles that I think you can practically apply to your life as you evaluate it and as you evaluate. When you think about investing anything, time, money, talents, whatever God has given you, this is a way to measure it. Number one is the investment principle. The investment principle. Remember this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. And I like it because it's what you seed is what you get. What you seed is what you get. Right? Maybe you can remember it that way, and it helps me. And that is, you must give to experience the blessing. You know, we talked about the difference between a colander and a Tupperware, and God has designed it so the blessing isn't what you receive, it's not what you get, it's the joy and the blessing of allowing it to flow through you to someone else. So, in other words, you can say, you can collect all you want in your Tupperware life, and you can hold on to it, and you can keep it fresh, and you can open it every once in a while, and take a smell, and make sure it's sealed, and keep it on a shelf, but you know what? You're not experiencing the blessing that God wants you to have. You may say, I'll count my blessings, and we all go to our Tupperware, right? But that's not, I want to count my blessings. How many holes are in your colander? Now you're talking about blessing. I can't count my blessings. Why? Because God continues to pour them in. They continue to pour through. I can't count them because there goes one, there goes one, there goes one. That's how it is. You miss the blessing. Investment means you invest. If you want to be blessed, you have to give. You have to put the seed out there. What you seed is what you get. We live in a society of people who sit back and wait for you to give. Because they deserve it. They need it. They want it. But they give nothing. Are you one of those people? The investment principle. The other principle is the heart principle. Do you see what he said? I love the Bible because it really throws the world on its ear. Because the world says, you know what? Those churches, all they want is your money. Those preachers, all they want is your money. All right, and they just want you to give. They don't care if you come or not. They just want the checks to come in. All right? Paul says, each of you should give what you have decided, where? In your heart to give. Okay? Guess what? Now, stewardship committee gets upset when I, a little nervous when I say this, but God doesn't need your money. Because who owns everything? He already owns it. What's in your pocket? What's in your bank account? What's in your wallet? He already owns it. Okay? God doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. And when your heart is with God and when you love God, you can't love without giving. And therefore, you give and you become a generous person because you love the Lord. Not because he said, give me some money, but because you love him. And you can give hilariously. It's just hilarious to give to the Lord. It's the heart principle. Seeding is believing. We say seeing is believing, but seeding, when you do give, it's believing. It means you do it with your heart. I believe. Do you believe in the mission that we're about here at Parkwood Church? Do you believe in it? Do you believe that we're seeking the Lord's way and allowing Him to work through us to change this community for eternity? Do you believe that? Well, then naturally, seeding is believing. I'm going to give to what I believe in. I'm going to give time. I'm going to give energy. I'm going to give money and material things. I'm going to give everything I can because I believe in that. Seeding is believing. Thirdly, look at the next. I just love the way Paul says this. If you're following along, look what it says after it talks about being a cheerful, hilarious giver. And God is able. So first of all, God is able. Amen? God is able to do what? To bless you abundantly so that, now listen to this little word here, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It is the sufficient supply principle. God is able to do all things at all times for all that you need. All right, I don't think anything that you can come up with on your list of wondering whether God's going to meet that need or not is going to fit that. It's not, God meets all. You can't, you're no exception. Yeah, but I'm really a tough case. Really? God will give you all things that you need at all times for everything. Everything. I really need some help here. I need some comfort here. Lord, I need some joy. I need to find peace in a situation that's not peaceful. Well, guess what? God can do that. God is able. He is a sufficient supply. Fourthly and lastly, Paul quotes out of Psalm 112. By the way, maybe some of your Bibles have a little indent or a little quote marks because he's quoting the scripture. And he says, you know, like it's written, he says, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. It's the abound principle. It's the abound principle because you're free to scatter your gifts just as they've been given to you. You're free to give. You can be a sloppy giver like God. You can be a sloppy blesser. You can just let it go and flow because you know what? The flow into you won't stop. It'll keep flowing. And you won't ever fill up, so that's not the goal. Tupperware Christians, they fill up. There's only so much this will hold. This keeps holding and going and going and going, and God keeps pouring. And as long as it's going through, God's going to keep pouring in. As soon as it stops going through, it gets full, we're done. What kind of Christian you want to be? The abound principle. Just think. You know, it's kind of like, I went back to the most recent example in my own life was Halloween. We sit out in front of our house and we have a little fire there and people come out. It's a contained fire. And the kids come up to our house and they come up with their bags and instead of knocking on our door, they just come right up to us and we give them a piece of candy. Well, towards the end of the night, time is rolling on, you know, and we buy just a ton because we don't ever want to run out like many of you. And now it's like getting a little bit later. It's starting to the herd is starting to thin, and we say, "Man, we gotta get rid of this candy." So the people who come last, you know, whereas it was 1-2 pieces, you know, here you go, thank you very much, thank you very much. Whoa, you got one already, you know. Now it's handfuls. Man, happy Halloween. You know, here. Bring out the other bag, right? Why? Because I'm so abundantly supplied that I don't have any problem. I am free to give as much as I want instead of counting it. The attitude I have at the end of the night is much different than I had at the beginning when I'm counting candy. God doesn't want you to count candy. He wants you to give handfuls. You see, and Paul says, even in the Psalms, it says, we're free to scatter. We're free to scatter. I'm free to give. If you had an ATM card that was guaranteed to never run out and you never had to pay it back and you could just go and get that money, what could you do for others? God says, I am your supply. and you feel free to scatter whatever I give you anywhere you want. Let's get sloppy together. Just shake it off. I'll keep pouring it on you. You keep shaking, and we'll get it on everybody around. And we'll change this world's view of what they think God is to what God really is. Amen? Now, can we remember what God's done for us so freely, so abundantly, that we can barely understand it as we come to the Lord's table and remember His gift to you and me?